The Scroll, Chapter 9, Wealth. Qohelet rapped on his window ledge and whistled Simca's tune. The little bird looked his way. Qohelet whistled again and Simca darted into the air. Caleb's face thrust through the window, mouthing a silent curse. The man leaned out of his window to follow Simca's path over to Qohelet's apartment. He shook his fist at Qohelet, catching his elbow on his trap and toppling it into the pavement where it shattered into bits. He opened his mouth to shout, but then yanked his head back inside. Qohelet shook his head. It was a good thing he was staying indoors for a few days. He wouldn't want to meet Caleb out on the street. It wouldn't be out of character for him to strike an older man. Simca hopped closer and cocked her head to look at him. He bit off a piece of apple and placed it on the ledge. She gave it a cursory peck. "Sorry, little bird, I've no more figs for you." He glanced at the basket. "How about a little bread? It's even fresh for once." Breaking off a piece of the loaf in Eli's basket, he held it out to her. Simca pecked at the bread in his hand. "I'm not helping you, am I? You have become so useful to people feeding you that now you will be easy to catch." Qohelet looked across the way. Thankfully, Caleb was not in his window. "I would quit feeding you, but then you would certainly be drawn into Caleb's trap." Simca looked at him with bright eyes and chirped. "If he catches you, he will put out your eyes so you will never know the light of a new day. You will live out your days in darkness, always singing for a dawn that can never come again for you. Caleb will use your continual song to fetch himself a high price for you in the market." He tore off another piece of bread and laid it on the ledge. "Let's you and I make an agreement. You stay away from Caleb's window, and I will make sure there is bread here for you every day." Simca stopped pecking a moment, and her head bobbed in seeming agreement. Caleb appeared on the street and retrieved his broken cage. He gave an angry glance at Qohelet and went back inside. The man would not be giving up. He needed money, and Simca's beautiful song would give him a quick sale. Caleb's door slammed shut and the market fell silent. Qohelet sat at his desk and watched Simca finish her bread. If only the house of God could be this quiet. There was so little time to reflect and quietly meditate. For some reason, people thought it was always necessary to talk aloud about God and to God. As he aged, he had less patience for it. With his failing hearing, their loud prayers sounded like a herd of cattle bawling in their stalls. It was one of the reasons he rarely went anymore. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the worship of fools who speak before they think. Do not be hasty to utter a word in God's presence. God is in heaven, you are in earth, so let your words be few. Just as dreams come when there are many worries, so does foolish talk when there are many words." Foolish talk proliferated when thoughts flowed without any consideration of whether it was the best time to bring up a matter or whether it should be spoken at all. The human mind produced many untrue and unkind thoughts, and once the words were blurted out, they became community property. Harmful words that could last a lifetime. When it came to discussing God, there were even more words. It seemed that people had to hear each other talking about God to believe that God was actually there. Yet in his lifetime, he had discovered that the people he now considered most spiritual were often the ones who did not have a great need to prove it. Simca chirped at him. Her bread was gone, and he broke off another piece. "Are you also praying for your needs to be met? Asking to be fed so you don't have to risk the traps in the orchards and on Caleb's window?" He placed the bread in front of her and she resumed her pecking. "I am thinking, little bird, that some people pray because they are so afraid of living in a random world of time and chance. Everyone knows that terrible times might fall upon them at any time, and that knowledge compels them to put their faith in God. But it also causes them to create all sorts of practices and beliefs to ward off the evil that might come their way. What begins as faith in God becomes a concrete and safe system of beliefs." Simca's head bobbed. Then she went back to pecking at her bread. "What I am saying is that in an effort to come to grips with time and chance, we evaluate each circumstance that comes our way and then tell ourselves why these things happened and what rules we should follow in the future to make sure bad times are avoided. We create a list of rules so we will be shielded from the ravages of time and chance." Simca gave him a quick glance. "I know, I get a bit carried away with this, but I've seen it over and over again. Take vows, for instance. A vow is an honest part of any relationship, like a marriage vow, in which people declare their commitment. However, as time passes, it becomes a way to manipulate others to gain favor while pursuing personal goals. Caleb keeps promising his wife special things in order to keep her happy, but his real goal is to keep her from finding out he has broken his vows and is visiting the brothel. He dipped his pen and wrote the conclusion to his teaching. If you make a promise to God, do not delay in fulfilling it. God is not pleased with fools, so do what you have said. It is better never to take a vow than to take one and not fulfill it. Don't let your mouth lead you into sin by saying, "My vow was a mistake." Why give God cause to be angry at your words and destroy the work of your hands? The schemes and empty words of the fool are futile, but the wise have respect for God. He leaned back in his chair. Simca looked his way and he pointed at the scroll. "It is true, little bird. In this broken world, a vow is a necessary indication of the value you place on your relationships. A vow helps to keep the agreement intact through the tough times that most certainly will come along. But some use a promise only to manipulate others and get ahead. They use others to gain great wealth to protect themselves, and often those in positions of authority abuse their power to increase their personal wealth. This has been true from the beginning and will continue to the end of time. If you see the poor oppressed or justice and rights denied, do not be surprised. The local official is watched by a supervisor, and over them both are others higher still. They all take from the increase of the land, and the king himself profits from the fields." He chuckled and looked up at Simca. "I hope that teaching doesn't get me in trouble. Only the king is allowed to criticize himself, and he does it so others will see him as a wise and humble ruler. When someone else criticizes him, they may be executed as a traitor." Simca stopped eating and looked at him with questioning eyes. "It is true, little bird. I have witnessed the fate of those who challenged the king on his excessive taxes. They did not last long in a government bent on showing the world its wealth and power. People who are chasing riches and power do not take kindly to others standing in their way. Here is what I wrote. But those who love money will never have enough, and those who crave riches are never satisfied. The pursuit of wealth is futile, for as goods increase, so do those who consume them, and what benefit is there to the owner except to watch it happen? The abundance of the rich keeps them awake at night, but the sleep of the laborer is sweet, whether he eats much or little." Voices rose from the plaza below. Reuben and Eli were discussing the future of the fruit business. Reuben was still young and full of energy, but if he succeeded in buying Eli's fruit stand, he would need to hire more people for the second location. It was an exciting time, yet in the end he would really be no further ahead than when he first started out. Many other business people in their later years would speak fondly of the early days when they were just getting the business started. When the business grew quickly, it became more of a burden than a joy, for the risks of losing it all grew daily as well. It is a great tragedy when a man is carefully guarding his investments, but loses everything through an unfortunate event and has nothing left to pass on to his children. Just as he came naked from his mother's womb, so he will depart, for there is nothing from his toil he can carry in his hands. This is a terrible predicament, for he not only gained nothing from toiling after the wind, but now he eats in darkness, plagued by depression, anger, and resentment. He sat back and watched Simca enjoy her bread and sunshine on her feathers. "Did you know, little bird, that Caleb used to own a big pottery business and a large home up by the palace? But then he lost it all and had to move into his empty pottery stall in the market. Now he can only talk about the past and how the world is against him. He keeps trying new schemes to earn some quick money and return to his former glory, but they never work out. I think that might be because he is so sour on life that potential business partners stay far away from him." Simca found the last crumbs scattered about the sill and then began to preen her feathers. "Huh, it is good to see you enjoying life, Simca. Many people are so busy managing their money that they have no time left to enjoy the daily rewards that come their way. Here's what I constantly teach out in the market, but it does not seem to sink in. I believe we should enjoy our food and find satisfaction in our work during each day of life God gives us, for this is our lot. If God provides us with money and possessions, and also grants the ability to enjoy them, by accepting our lot and being happy in our work, this is God's gift to us. If we accept it, we will seldom look regretfully on our past, because God will keep us occupied with joyful hearts." He looked up from his scroll. Simca had settled down in the sunny corner of the window ledge to survey the outside world. Ah, Simca, if only we humans could be as content with our daily bread. Storing up wealth for the future is not the key to a good life under the sun. Joy is found in the journey, not in the work itself. Those who miss this point are missing out on all that life has to offer them. He bent back over the scroll. Instead, a bitter heartache comes to many under the sun, for although God may grant us wealth and possessions until we have everything our hearts desire, we often lack the ability to enjoy those gifts, and someone else enjoys them. This is futile, a miserable situation. A man could have 100 children and live 1,000 years, yet no matter how long he lives, if his life comes to an end before he learns to enjoy the good things of life, I say a stillborn child is more fortunate. Its birth is futile, for it departs in darkness, and in darkness its name is shrouded. It never saw the light of day or knew what life was like, but that child has more peace than the wealthy man who fails to enjoy his prosperity and still ends up in the same place. We all work so hard to satisfy our desires, but only end up wanting more. Even the wise do not find more satisfaction than fools, and a poor man is not content even though he tries to accept his situation in life. I say again, it is better to enjoy what we have than to chase what we lack, for that pursuit is futile, like trying to catch the wind. Kohelet put his pen down and chuckled. Look at me, little bird. I am living proof of the human desire for more. Here I am, using up my remaining days to write a scroll so we can earn a bit more money. What do you think of that? Simca tilted her head, looked him up and down, and then chirped a bit of her sweet song. The thought of her being blinded and sold to entertain people who were too busy to even listen to the birds outside their own homes galled him. For Caleb, Simca was a means to an end, a way to obtain a few coins to buy another skin of cheap wine. There was no appreciation for Simca's song itself, for beauty was lost to Caleb. He could only see an opportunity to get something for himself. His thoughts moved quickly, and he was so engrossed in getting his words down on the page that he jumped when Simca darted off the ledge and the door flew open.